Chapter 3. Anomalies. Science is like a detective story. For astrophysicists, this truism comes with a twist. No other field of scientific sleuthing confronts such a diversity of scales and concepts. Our chronological scope of inquiry starts before the Big Bang and stretches out to the end of time, even as we recognize that the very notions of time and space are relative. Our research descends to quarks and electrons, the smallest known particles. It reaches out to the edge of the universe, and it concerns directly or indirectly everything in between. And so much of our detective work remains incomplete. We still don't understand the nature of the main constituents of the universe, and so out of ignorance, we label them dark matter, which contributes 5 times more to the cosmic mass budget than the ordinary matter we are made of, and dark energy, which dominates both dark and ordinary matter, and that causes, at least at present, the peculiar cosmic acceleration. We also do not understand what triggered the cosmic expansion or what happens inside black holes, 2 areas of study in which I have been deeply involved since switching to astrophysics all those years ago. There is so much we do not know that I often wonder whether another civilization, one that had the benefit of pursuing science for 1 billion years, would even consider us intelligent. The possibility that they might extend us that courtesy, I suspect, will not be determined by what we know, but by how we know it, namely, our fealty to the scientific method. It will be in our open-minded pursuit of data that confirms or disproves hypotheses that humanity's claim to any universal intelligence will stand or fall. Very often, what sets an astrophysicist's detective story in motion is the discovery of an anomaly in experimental or observational data, a piece of evidence that does not follow our expectations and that cannot be explained by what we know. In such situations, it is common practice to propose a variety of alternative explanations and then rule them out one by one based on new evidence until the correct interpretation is found. This was the case, for instance, with Fritz Zwicky's discovery of dark matter in the early 1930s. It was based on the observation that the motion of galaxies in clusters required more matter than was visible to our telescopes. His proposal was ignored until the 1970s, when additional data on the motion of stars in galaxies and the expansion rate of the universe provided conclusive evidence for it. This winnowing process can divide, even fracture, whole fields of scholarship, pitting explanations and their advocates against one another until, sometimes, one side presents demonstrative proof. This has been the case in the debate over Oumuamua, a debate that, for want of demonstrative proof, is ongoing. In fact, it is worth admitting up front that the likelihood of scientists ever obtaining demonstrative proof is very remote. Catching up to and photographing Oumuamua is impossible. The data we have is all we will ever have, leaving us the task of hypothesizing explanations that fully account for the evidence. This is, of course, a thoroughly scientific undertaking. No one gets to invent new evidence. No one gets to ignore evidence that is at odds with a hypothesis. And no one gets to, as in the old cartoon of a scientist working through a complex equation, insert, and then a miracle happens. Perhaps the most dangerous, most worrisome choice, however, would be declaring of Oumuamua, "Nothing to see here. Time to move along. We've learned what we can, and we'd best just go back to our old preoccupations." Unfortunately, as of this writing, that seems to be what many scientists have decided to do. The scientific debate over Oumuamua was relatively calm at the outset. I attribute this to the fact that early on, we were unaware of the object's most tantalizing anomalies. At first, this detective story seemed like an open and shut case. The likeliest explanation for Oumuamua, that it was an interstellar comet or asteroid, was also the simplest, most familiar one. But as the fall of 2017 progressed, I, along with a significant portion of the international scientific community, found myself puzzling over the data. I couldn't make the evidence neatly fit the hypothesis that Oumuamua was an interstellar comet or asteroid. As all of us struggled to make the evidence fit that hypothesis, I began to formulate alternate hypotheses to explain Oumuamua's multiplying peculiarities. Whatever else we conclude about Oumuamua, most astrophysicists would agree that it was and remains an anomaly unto itself. For starters, prior to Oumuamua's discovery, no confirmed interstellar object had ever been observed in our own solar system. That alone made Oumuamua historic, and it was enough to draw many astronomers' attention, which led to the gathering of more data, which was interpreted and found to reveal further anomalies, which drew more astronomers' attention, and so on. With the revelation of these anomalies, the real detective work began. The more we learned about Oumuamua, the clearer it became that this object was every bit as mysterious as the media reported. As soon as the observatory in Hawaii announced its discovery, and even as Oumuamua was fleeing toward the outer solar system, astronomers around the world trained a variety of telescopes on it. The scientific community was, to put it mildly, curious. It was as if someone had come to your house for dinner, and only when she was out the door and heading down the dark street did you become aware of all her strange qualities. We scientists had questions about our interstellar visitor and confronted a rapidly closing window of time to gather information, which we did by revisiting the data about our dinner guest that we had already collected and by observing her receding figure as she disappeared into the night. One pressing question was, what did Oumuamua look like? We did not and do not have a crisp photograph of the object to rely on. But we do have data from all those telescopes that were dedicated for about 11 days to collecting whatever they could. And once we had our telescopes trained on Oumuamua, we looked for one bit of information in particular: how Oumuamua reflected sunlight. Our sun acts like a lamppost that illuminates not only all the planets orbiting it, but every object that comes close enough to and is big enough to be seen from Earth. To understand this, you must first appreciate that in almost all scenarios, any two objects will rotate relative to each other when they pass. With that in mind, imagine a perfect sphere hurtling past the sun as it makes its way through our solar system. The sunlight reflecting off its surface is unvarying because the area of the tumbling sphere that faces the sun is unvarying. Anything other than a sphere, however, will reflect the sun's light by varying amounts as the object rotates. A football, for example, will reflect more light when one of its long sides faces the sun, and less light when, as it tumbles, its narrow sides face the sun. For astrophysicists, an object's changing brightness provides invaluable clues to its shape. In the case of Oumuamua, the object's brightness varied tenfold every 8 hours,